Understanding Your Bible. I'm glad that you've tuned in today, and I hope that the broadcast today will be a blessing to you. I hope that you will take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures. And if you don't have your Bible there handy, maybe you could take a pencil and a paper and write these Scriptures down that we go through as we talk to you about understanding your Bible. And if you have questions about the things that you hear on the broadcast, or if you have any comments you would like to make, there'll be information given to you at the end of the broadcast as far as how you can contact us by telephone, by mail, or by personal visit to our church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike in Chattanooga, and we would love to have you come and visit with us. The times of the services will be given to you at the end of the broadcast. So write that information down and come and be with us. And again, if you have any questions about the things that you hear, any comments, anything you would like to talk to me about, I'd be happy to talk to you, or I'd be happy to see you as you come visit with us in our services. Last week, we talked about, on the broadcast, the simplicity of the gospel. And in talking about that, I mentioned to you that the Bible and the gospel are not things that are hard to be understood. There are some principles in the Bible that we need to understand that will make the Bible really an open book to us. There are certain keys that will unlock the Scriptures. Much of the confusion about the Scriptures is that there seems to be at times contradictions. And throughout the broadcast, as we study each week, we try to talk to you about some of those things that would seem to be contradictions that are not at all contradictions when you understand that God spoke to different people at different times based on the period of time they were living in and the means whereby God was dealing with people. For example, under the law, God gave certain instructions that we don't follow today. Back under the Old Testament law, it was clear that there were certain sins back there, certain things that were punishable by death. There were certain dietary laws and laws that governed the nation Israel, and we're not under that law today, so obviously we don't follow that. And so to rightly divide the word of truth is something that, or to divide the word of truth is something that everybody does, but we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide the word of truth. We have a chart that demonstrates that principle here on the board, and right division has to do with distinguishing between the books, and the books that are written for the church, the body of Christ, is Romans through Philemon. The books that deal with the kingdom program given to the nation Israel are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Hebrews through Revelation. So whereas most everybody divides between the Old and the New Testament, even within the New Testament there is a division, because we find that the gospel preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the gospel of the kingdom, whereas the gospel preached by Paul is the gospel of the grace of God. So it's important that we understand that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's extremely important when it comes to talking about the gospel. Last week we talked about the simplicity of the gospel. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said that his fear was that people's minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in the gospel. In that same chapter, in verse 13, he said that there are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And so today what I want to do is talk to you a little bit about false teachers, those that teach false doctrine. He says there in verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, I think it's important to understand that throughout the Bible, all the way back in the Old Testament, there have always been those that taught contrary to the doctrine that God taught. In other words, every time God has a specific message in this Bible, a message of salvation, the devil has those that preach contrary to that. It started in the garden. As a matter of fact, Paul used the garden there as an example when he said he was concerned that people's mind, he said, as the serpent beguiled Eve, his fear was that our minds would be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 13, there is a specific warning to the nation Israel concerning false prophets. I want to read that to you. And the reason I want to do this, I want to show you that no matter what period of time you're talking about in your Bible, there's always been those that are teaching false doctrine. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1, If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, it's interesting to me that when you look at this, this is directly contrary to what you see in most of religion today. And the reason I say that is that I've talked with numerous people about what we see going on today in the charismatic movement and the signs and miracles and wonders, and how you see these preachers get on TV and they supposedly have the gift of healing and the gift of people being slain in the spirit. And, you know, people say, well, I believe that because I can see it. It's something that I can hold on to. It's something you experience. But the Lord told Israel, He said, If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and you would think he would say, if the sign comes to pass, then you could accept him, but he doesn't say that. He said, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherever he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Well, what are they to fall after? Verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him. Notice they are to obey that which was written down. They are to cleave unto the commandments. Now, over in Matthew, when we get over into the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and He says, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now notice verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Notice the emphasis there is on those that teach these things. In other words, he said, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Over in Matthew chapter 23, in Matthew 23, verse 14, Jesus Christ said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. It's interesting in the Bible that several times the Lord Jesus Christ is very specific that the greater damnation comes upon those that teach false doctrine. Notice back in Matthew chapter 7, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he says, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Beware of false prophets. In every period of time throughout the Bible, whenever God had prophets, whenever God spoke directly to men, whenever God spoke through men and they wrote it down, there were false prophets. There were those that taught contrary to the Word of God and to the doctrine that God had for that particular period of time. Over in Matthew chapter 15, there's a whole chapter over there, and we're not going to take time to read it, that deals with the false prophets. He says there in verse 2, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. That's the Pharisees' response to Jesus Christ. And he goes through that whole chapter there, and you get down to verse 19, or verse 18, and he says, But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. In other words, there are those that preach and teach false doctrine, and he says it's because they have evil hearts. Now, I want us to look today at what happens or what is the result of these false teachers and what comes about as a result of false teaching. The Apostle Paul, who I mentioned a moment ago, is the apostle to the Gentiles, who preached the gospel of the grace of God, was continually confronted with those that taught contrary to the sound doctrine that he taught. In Titus chapter 1, in verse 6, or in verse 5, Paul is writing to Titus, and he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." In other words, the purpose of ordaining the elders was that they might set in order, in doctrinally, the things that were wanting, the things that were not correct. Notice in verse 10 of the same chapter, Titus 1, verse 10. He said, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." We read about some of those in Galatians last week. Paul said that there were those that came about and they perverted the gospel. We'll look at that more in a moment. But he said, "There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." And notice that Apostle Paul did not take these things lightly. You know, today there's a kind of an acceptance in religion that is very dangerous. And when I say dangerous, the idea that everybody believes basically the same thing. We're all, you know, this idea when I was a boy, that there was this thing that was promoted that we're all going to the same place, we're just taking different roads to get there. And today the ecumenical movement of this world and the religious systems of this world seem to be coming together in a unity that is somewhat dangerous. Now, there is a unity of the Spirit that we're to keep outlined in Ephesians chapter 4. But that unity does not compromise the truth. Paul said, "There are many vain, unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of circumcision." And notice what he says about that. He said, "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not." And then he tells us the reason. He says, "For filthy lucre's sake." You see, much of what is taught in religion today, not all, but much of what is taught in religion today is taught because it is beneficial monetarily, and it causes people to gain. And Paul says to suppose that gain is godliness is wrong. Gain is not godliness. But there are those that suppose that it is. And so there are unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. And Paul said their mouths must be stopped. Notice over in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, again, it does not make any difference what period of time you're dealing with. There are false teachers. In Hebrews 13:9, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1, Peter says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." In Jude chapter 1, First John chapter 1, John is warning people throughout the epistle about those that are going to come along and teach false doctrine. He says there in verse 3 of chapter 1, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." In other words, John reaffirms his relationship with God, and he says, "That which we heard we declare unto you." Now, notice over in 1 John chapter 4, the warning. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." In other words, there again, that will fit the gospel of the kingdom, as I pointed out on the board up here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Hebrews through Revelation. All of that deals with the kingdom gospel, and the foundation of that gospel is that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And so he said, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And he said, there are false prophets gone out into the world, and they're preaching false doctrine. And so I read all of those passages because I wanted to demonstrate unto you the fact that throughout the Bible, let me read one more over in Jude, verse 4, he says, for there are certain men crept unawares who were before of old ordained in this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see that there are false prophets in each dispensation. But when the Apostle Paul deals with false prophets, it goes beyond simply warning people that there are those that are teaching that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. That was the issue in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the early part of Acts, and Hebrews through Revelation. Jesus Christ being the Son of God. But the gospel Paul preached uses that as a foundational truth. That is, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, proven to be so by the resurrection from the dead. But when Paul warns against false teachers, he warns primarily against false teachers in relation to what they're teaching about the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, verse 17, Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So we know that during Paul's day, there were many people who were corrupting the word of God. He said, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So we know then that there were many people, because he said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So there were many that were corrupting the word of God, as there are today. There are multitudes of preachers that corrupt the word of God, and they do it, according to Titus chapter 1, for their belly's sake. And they do it because it draws large crowds. It is popular. It brings in the masses. And rather than preaching the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, they preach that which is beneficial and which is according to the traditions of men. They corrupt the Word of God. They pervert the gospel. We looked at this last week, but I'll read it once again for you in case you weren't tuned in for the broadcast. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But notice, he says, but there be some that trouble you. Those that trouble you were the false teachers and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But notice how serious this is. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Listen, folks, it is a very serious thing for a person to pervert the gospel of Christ that was given to the Apostle Paul and preach another gospel or pervert the gospel by adding to it or taking away from it. He said, as we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. So the gospel that Paul preached was Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. How did they pervert that gospel? Well, with the Galatians, they perverted the gospel by saying you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Paul warned them against that. He said, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That is, if you're trusting in the fact that you're circumcised, then you're not trusting in Christ. You could say the same thing today about many areas of religion. If you're trusting in your water baptism to save you, then you've not been saved. If you're trusting in your church membership to save you, then you've not been saved. Now, you may be a church member and you might have been baptized in water, but the issue is, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary? Or are you trusting in some work of your flesh? Those that pervert the gospel of Christ are false teachers. they corrupt the Word of God, they pervert the gospel of God, and in so doing, the Bible is clear that they put people in bondage. Who is they? They are the false teachers that we read about over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The false apostles, false teachers. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I certify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Up in verse 7, he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You see, many people today have been entangled with the yoke of bondage by listening to the false teachers that have perverted the truth of the gospel and perverted the Word of God and made people believe that their salvation is dependent upon something they do in the flesh, either to get it or to keep it. Listen, anybody that preaches that you can lose your salvation is perverting the gospel of the grace of God. Your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. While the Bible says you've been accepted in the blood, you've been forgiven all trespasses, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing your trespasses. While Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 that you've been sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. To teach that you can lose your salvation is to deny the fact that you are complete in Christ, as Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. So, you see, there's many ways that the truth of the gospel can be perverted. People can say that you have to do certain things in order to get saved, but they can also pervert the gospel by saying that you have to do certain things in order to remain saved. You've got to remain faithful. You've got to remain steadfast. And if you sin or get involved in this sin or that sin, that you're going to lose your salvation. Listen, folks, your sin is not the issue as far as salvation is concerned. Your sin is not the issue. What is the issue is whether you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the fact is that people who pervert the gospel, the false teachers, deceive people into believing that they can lose their salvation. And much of the time, it is, again, for their own benefit and profit. Because if you teach people they can lose their salvation, then you can control them, and you can manipulate them, and you can keep them in bondage. But a person cannot lose their salvation. Listen, people teach today, I've heard people teach that if you commit suicide, that you can't go to heaven. Well, listen, a person could get in such an emotional state that would happen, and it would have no effect upon the fact that they had trusted Christ as their Savior. You see, today in the dispensation of grace of God, there is no unpardonable sin. And yet, there are those false teachers who teach contrary to the doctrine of salvation by grace and confuse people and confuse the issue and cause people to trust in their flesh rather than Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 14, Paul says, or let's read back in verse 12, in verse 11. "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine," notice, "by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." You see, this thing is not something that just is by happenstance. This is intentional. The devil has his ministers, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that we read a moment ago. And Paul says, they lie in wait to deceive, and they are cunningly crafty. They use cunning craftiness. And he says that we should be established, that we would not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight, or that is, by the deceitfulness of men. So they are deceptive. And then the last thing I want you to notice about false teachers is that they are enticing. in Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therewith and with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Listen, you take your Bible, and you read and study your Bible, and you become convinced on what you believe on the basis of this book, not on the basis of what your preacher or any other preacher says about the book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't allow some false teacher to put you in bondage or to deceive you by words that sound good, that tickle the ear, but are not according to the doctrine of the Apostle Paul given to the church, the body of Christ, in Romans through Philemon. Know what you believe and prove it by the word of God rightly divided, and don't be deceived, because there are those out there whose goal in life is to deceive you and cause you to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.